Father's Day, 2009, I want to speak about fathers. First of all, God is called the God of our fathers, Acts 3, 13. So fathers have a God, and He is the God of fathers. So if you're a father, then you have a God, because He wants to be known as the God of our fathers. So we know that means that Israel's ancestors had that God. But also, it also means that He is the God of all fathers. So God is, no father is God. You have a father in heaven who's over you, a father on earth. Then in the fifth chapter, the 30th verse of Acts, it also says, and He, the God of our fathers, sends Jesus. So the God of our fathers, our earthly fathers, sends Jesus for the earthly fathers. And then in the seventh chapter, verse 32, He says, I am the God of your fathers. So God wants to be known as the God of all fathers, not just the Jewish ancestors. God is our loving Father, and because of that, He cares for us. He, first of all, He's holy, then He's merciful, then He's mighty. Holy, merciful, and mighty. Now, this all has to do with an earthly father. An earthly father also should be holy, merciful, and mighty, like His heavenly Father. So if you're a father, then these are the three characteristics you should have. And if you're not a father yet, these are the characteristics you need to have, is to be holy and to be merciful and to be mighty. Because God is our loving Father, He's not an angry judge. Now, if He were an angry judge, because there's two ways to approach God. One is under the law, and the other is apart from the law. If you're under the law, then you have to be perfect like God is. You have to perform. So when a father raises his family, he wants his sons and daughters to obey him. He wants them to do what he says. But if they misbehave, if they don't obey him, then he has another way, which is part of his fatherly love, which is mercy. I can show mercy. The one is performance under the law. The other is relationship apart from the law. Which one is the father's heart? Only the second. But because the father loves you, he gives you his holy law, not so you'll keep it, although you can keep it, but when you do keep it, you know what you'll learn? You're just a hypocrite. Because nobody really wants to keep the Father's law. Nobody wants to keep somebody else's law for them. They want to do their own thing. But not smart. But if all I can be is a hypocrite, I still got a problem. Because the Father wants you to love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. So the Heavenly Father has given us, on the left side, His law: be like me, your Father in heaven. Be exactly like I am, holy, merciful, mighty. Over on the right side, He's saying, but if you're not, I got another plan, another kind of righteousness. This one's righteousness under the law. This one is righteousness by faith. And here, I show mercy to you. And mercy triumphs over judgment. So the right hand triumphs over the left hand. In other words, what God wants you to know is, even though you can't keep the law perfectly from your heart, because He loves you, He wants you to keep the law, but He does it, first of all, He forgives you for not doing it, then second of all, He gives you the Holy Spirit so you can do it. Now, I can do what He told me to do over here, but I can't do it because He told me to. I could only be a hypocrite. But over here, I can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, He that's in me is He's in me, the Holy Spirit's in me, to will and to do. So He has two kinds of fatherly care. First of all, the Father shows you what He wants, and second of all, He forgives you for not doing it, and then He helps you to do it. That's a good Father. So do you understand the Father? He has the left hand. I want you to do this, and then your children do it, but they do it hypocritically, and they know that. They know, I'm doing the right thing, but but I don't really want to do it. What I really want to do is my own thing. Okay? But the Father will discipline you then. He'll chasten you. The father that loves his son chastens him. He'll spank him. He'll discipline him. He'll hold him back. Why? Because this doesn't lead to life. But I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Okay? Then he forgives you. But he only forgives you so then he can give you the Holy Spirit so that you can, in fact, do the law that he told you to do, but now you're doing it from the heart. Why? Because he works that. He's the one that does that. Now, does God have a right to do that? Can God give you a law that he knows you're not going to do so that then he can forgive you and then he can help you to do the law that you didn't want to do, but now you can do by the power of the Holy Spirit? Does God have a right to do that? Yes. He can do anything he wants to do. Why then give me the law in the first place? So he humbles me. Because when he gives me the law in the first place, I realize I can't do it. I'm not God. I can't be like God because I'm not a God. I'm my own person. And every child is going to rebel. There's never been a child yet that hasn't rebelled and said, you know, I don't want to do it. I'm doing it, but I don't want to do it. So it's not from the heart. But God will forgive you for that, but then he'll give you the Holy Spirit, so it will be from the heart. But you didn't do that one. That's a gift. This one is performance. This one's relationship. This one's me. This one's God. This one's a work, and I need a reward for it. Of course, I didn't do it. And this one is a gift. So you see how God operates? Now, if you don't understand this, and 99% of the people don't understand, why would God give me a law that he knew I wasn't going to keep? Well, you can keep it outwardly, but you can't keep it inwardly. He did that so he could forgive you, and he wanted you to come and say, God, forgive me, I didn't do the right thing. I was not a good child. So on Father's Day, I want you to understand that your earthly father is the same as you are as a child to him. That's the way he is to God. So as God is kind to his children, that is your father's, so you can be kind to your children. As God is merciful, so you must be merciful. So honor your father and mother. The word honor is kabod. Say it, kabod. Kabod means something heavy. So in the Hebrew language, to honor your father is to declare that he is a gift of God that's very weighty, very heavy, very valuable, very precious. So to honor your father from the heart would mean to give him the honor that's due him, even if he doesn't deserve, because he wasn't perfect, he failed over here. Still, you honor him just because he birthed you, just simply because he's your birth father. He gave birth to you. You still honor him because he's a gift of God. So, since I had several fathers, as you know, my first father was my birth father. And all he did was birth me. He never did another thing at all. In fact, he didn't even know I was born. He was my birth father, but he never even knew that he had a son. So that was just, he conceived me one night. It was only there one night. And then my mother never saw him again. And he never saw her again, and he had no idea that he birthed me. He wondered, but he had no idea. Then my second father, who was there at the time I was born, claimed to be my real father, who he really wasn't. So he claimed, no, I'm your father. But he wasn't my father. And as a matter of fact, I have several birth certificates, none of which agree with the other one. And I didn't get even one until I was 4 years old. So I never had an original birth certificate. Then when I did get one, I was Arthur James, and another time I was Andrew James, then I was James Andrew, and then I was James Arthur. So I had all kinds of birth certificates, none of which are accurate at all, because my second father wasn't my real father. So that was phony, and so on and so forth. Anyway, the neat thing about it is the third father, who was a Christian, the first two weren't, but the third father was a Christian, I didn't like him because he tried to come in and boss me and put me under the law. And I didn't want to be under the law. I'd lived the first 7 years of my life without a father, and the second father didn't last very long, so I had no fathers. So, but I thank God for my first father that birthed me. I thank God for my second father that kept me going for a couple years. And I thank God for my third father, whom I hated. But I thank God for him, because he's the one that taught me, you do right or I'll spank you. And he did. So I hated him, because he was trying to tie me down and make me be a hypocrite. I didn't like being a hypocrite. I didn't want to behave myself. So I just lied to him. Whenever he was around, I pretended like I loved it. Then as soon as he would leave, I'd jump out the window and go do my own thing, come back, sneak back in the house. And they never knew. Never, never, never. My parents never knew that I lived a double life. They never had any idea that the public life I lived in front of them was totally not my private life, which I just went off and lived by myself. Well, my only illustration here is I thank God for all three fathers. Why? Because they were all kabod. They were all heavy. They were all valuable. They were all precious. Kabod is like a diamond in the rough. You know, it doesn't look good, but it is. It just has to be cut and polished. And so eventually, when I met my first father, the first thing I told him was, I love you. And he didn't know why. I told him, because you birthed me. He said, I'm so sorry I didn't raise you. He was part of the mob. He was part of the mob. So he worked for Jimmy Hoffa. I'm so glad you didn't raise me, I said. I'm just glad you birthed me, and then it didn't stick around. And then the second father, I thanked him. Thank you for not birthing me, but for lying and saying you birthed me when you really didn't. And then only sticking around a couple of years because you couldn't take it. He was a pervert. So he was gone. So now you have a mobster and a pervert. You got two neat dads. And the third dad, he was Adolf Hitler. He was trying to always to put me under the law, make me behave myself. And I always did. On the outside, I was a hypocrite. But as soon as he wasn't looking, I went and did my other thing. Now, none of those fathers, I felt, loved me. They didn't take care of me. No one loved me. And my mother tried to abort me four times. And my grandmother was the one telling her to do it. And so nobody really cared about me when I was finally born. Nobody was excited that I got there. Because my mother's life would be ruined now. I ruined my mother's life because she had graduated high school in 3 years, was ready for a career. Very smart woman. And she could have gone on and amounted to something. Instead, she never amounted to anything because I was born. So I ruined her life. And I was just a reject, a total reject. But I thank God that I'm not a reject. God likes me. And so my fourth father, which is God, he's the father that takes you up if your mother and father forsake you. So my fourth father made up for the other three and showed me that the other three were a blessing. You wouldn't even be here if your first father hadn't birthed you. Second of all, your second father kept you going for a couple of years, so thank him. And the third father, Adolf Hitler, he stopped you and made you a hypocrite. Thank him for that. Thank you for making me a hypocrite. But I was only a hypocrite outwardly. Inwardly, I knew I wasn't any good. I never intended to be good. I never was good. I didn't want to be good. And so I thank God that he gave me three perfect fathers. They were kabod. They were heavy. They were valuable. They were like a gold chain around the neck. And so in the Bible, what God is saying is, the father I gave you, in my case three, those three fathers I gave you, they were a precious gift. Don't look at the wrapping. Don't look at the rough diamond. Don't look at the gold unpurified. Just look at, there's something good there. And so I thank God for the good. You birthed me, thank you. You kept me going, thank you. And you finished me off, thank you. So I thanked them all. And I meant it. I wasn't joking. I really meant it. I wouldn't be here if my first dad hadn't birthed me one night stand. Thank God for that one night stand. My mother felt ashamed. But I told her, well, Mom, you know, you did it. I'm glad. How many know I wouldn't be here if she hadn't done that? So I'm glad she sinned. I'm glad she did wrong. I thank God for a mom like that that did wrong, because that's the only way I got here. And if you're not here, it's hard to be you. So I wouldn't be me if my mom hadn't sinned. Do you all see that? I'm totally grateful for that sin. That sin, I thank God for that sin. God said not to do it, but she did it. But I thank God for that, and I told her that. Mom, I thank you that you tried to abort me, and you know you didn't want me to come along, and so on and so forth. And grandmother hated me, didn't want me. She already had my cousin, and she liked him. And you know, another one was just one more mouth to feed, and so on. I thank God. Thank God for my grandmother. I thank God for my mother. I don't have any complaints about anyone. Is anyone else like me? You had a father that was left less than perfect, but they did something good, and for that I thank God. And they did something bad, well, that's because they weren't like Jesus. So I forgive that. I forgive and I thank. Has anybody else done that? You have to thank God that your father wasn't perfect. Did anybody else have an imperfect father like I had? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So it's good. Dave, how was your dad? You see, David wouldn't even be here if I weren't here. You see what a blessing that is. So I birthed him and stuck around and was Adolf Hitler to him and everything. I did all the same things my dad did to me. So, but when I met my heavenly father, boom. Now, none of my fathers introduced me to Jesus, but my third father at least forced me to go to church when I was 11 years old. I was 11. I'd never gone to church in my life, ever. I'd never been in a church, ever. I wasn't baptized. I wasn't baptized till I was 12 or something like that. But anyway, I didn't have any religion. I had no morals. I had nothing. Nobody ever taught me right from wrong. My mother worked all the time, so she was never at home. My grandmother didn't like me, and my aunt was always running around, and we had just mafia everywhere. And, you know, I never understood it. I remember Blackie. Blackie was a guy that was part of the mafia, and he used to come and date my aunt. And he would always bring, he drove a truck for Chiquita Banana, and they used to have a little ring you could put on your finger as a little kid. It was made out of paper. But I loved those rings. And so I didn't care if he was mafia or not. He gave me those rings, those little Chiquita Banana. I don't even know where they fit on the banana, maybe on the end of it or something. But I remember that. And so I loved the mafia. They were great to me. But thank God my fourth father, he was my heavenly father. And it says in the Bible, if your earthly father forsakes you, doesn't care for you, isn't perfect, your heavenly father will make up for it. So how many know you have a father in heaven who is the father of all fathers? And if the earthly father doesn't take care of you, that heavenly father does. Now, some of you had good fathers. We had a great service this morning over in Dallas, packed out. It was full. First of all, there were several of our Fort Worth families over there because they have fathers that live over there or whatever in Dallas. So that was great. Anyway, we were packed out. And people began to testify about their fathers. And some had horrible fathers, and some had, you know, wonderful fathers. And I was a father to several people. I didn't even know that. They said, Pastor Jim, you were actually my father. I didn't know that. And so they felt like I loved them. And, you know, I don't have any love in me at all. It's just Jesus. That's my heavenly father gave me that part. My earthly fathers didn't give me that part. But my heavenly fathers did. Now, if you miss out on your fathers, you still have a heavenly father to make up for it. Once you meet him, your life is over. Once I met my heavenly father, I fell in love. He loved me first, and then I loved because he loved me first. And now I love my wife, I love my mom, I love my fathers, I love everybody, even my enemies. I love my enemies. I love Muslims. I love homosexuals. I love witchcraft people. You know why? Because my heavenly father loved me, and I was worthless. I had no value whatsoever. Everybody's trying to get rid of me. But I thank God my mom was unsuccessful. My grandmother was unsuccessful. You know, whoever else. My second father also tried to abort me. I mean, he was trying to help he was trying to help so that I never came forth. But anyway, and it's just all funny. But you know what? Don't think there's any virtue in me forgiving them. I actually meant it. Thank you for bringing me into the world. Thank you for being there for a couple of years, even though you were a jerk and idiot and bad guy and so on. And my third father, whom I didn't like, I thank you for being there and not loving me. I don't remember ever, ever having him hug me or hold me or say love me or anything like that. I don't remember anything. And that's good, because I'll tell you one thing it does. One thing it does is you realize, life stinks. That's one thing. And when I met Jesus, he meant something to me. He was the first one that ever loved me, no matter what. Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Wow, that was powerful. I never had that. I never had that. I didn't have it when I was growing up from aunts, grandmothers, you know, uncles, anybody. All my uncles were mafia. They didn't like me. Nobody liked me. So it was great, because you know what that does? That drive you to Jesus. Because I only had one choice, Jesus. And I didn't meet him till I was quite late. Even when I got baptized at 12, I didn't even know who God was or anything. I mean, it just had no meaning to me. But they wouldn't confirm me until I was baptized, so I had to go ahead and get baptized. So it wasn't personal. It wasn't, you know, I meant it or anything like that. I just did it because you had to do it, because then they couldn't take a photograph of me at 12 graduating. So that's why I had to get that thing. Or I guess I was 14. I don't remember what I was. But whatever I was, I had pimples. I remember that. You get pimples at that age. And so I was a typical teenager. And they gave me a little purple flower. I remember that. I have no idea what that purple flower is. But that was one of the things you got when you were confirmed. And you were now on your way to becoming a man, apparently. So I had my purple flower. I don't know if that makes a man or not, but I had that. And I remember I wore a white robe. And I'm sure we still have a picture of that. Me with, you know, 70 girls, you know, kind of thing. Because more girls are into that than guys are into that. But my third father, Adolf Hitler, made me go. You know, you will go. So, do you believe in God the Father? Yep. Do you believe in God the Son? Yes. You believe in God the Holy Spirit? Yes. You know, you agree to, and then whatever they said, I just said yes to it, because if you say no, you don't get it. So you better say yes, whatever the thing is. Do you believe God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and da 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 da. And yeah, I'm going to say it, because I'll be kicked out if I don't. Yeah, so religion had no meaning to me. It had no power to me. But one thing, when I finally, how old was I, Peg? 30? 31. When I was 31 years old, that's when I fell in love with Jesus. I'd heard about him, but I didn't have a good view of dads. I didn't have a good view of, you know, surrendering to God or something. I had a good view of me running my own life all the time. And I knew he was into being God over me. Like, Jim, from now on you will do what I say. I've lived as a rebel my whole life. Why would I want to do what you say? Because I love you. I don't know. You love me, but you want to put this law on me. I mean, wouldn't I have to go to church? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't I have to be good? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't I have to, you know, behave myself? Mm-hmm. Would I have to love Peggy? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I don't want that. I don't want to do all that. That's too much. Could I just sin and get you to forgive me from the right hand? And God, you know, he'll forgive you on the right hand. Did you know that? You can sin and he'll forgive you. If you don't do the left hand, he'll give you the right hand. So I took it. I said, okay, well, just give me the right hand. Okay, now do you want me to lord your life? No. No. Just give me the love and the mercy and the forgiveness. God is our loving Father. Have you all met God as a loving Father? How many here have met God? You know he's a loving Father. He loves you no matter how many sins you sin, no matter what's wrong with your life. He just loves you unconditionally. How many have got that down? I want to see. I actually want to see. Unconditionally. It doesn't matter how many sins you've sinned. If you're still sinning them, maybe tomorrow you'll do one. I hope not this afternoon. I'm trying to get you to stop sinning for a few minutes. God is not going to reject you. Why? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is he was the first one that loved me for no reason. I didn't deserve his love. I wasn't going to appreciate it. I wasn't going to do anything, but if I kept sinning, he would have to keep forgiving. I kept sinning, he was going to forgive. I kept sinning, he was going to forgive. I just thought that was a good deal, because before I was sinning and I was supposed to go to hell. Now I was sinning and I could go to heaven. I just thought that was great. I could get my whole way to heaven through sin. How many know that wasn't exactly the right idea? But as the one I had. That was the only way I got in. I don't think I'd be a Christian today had I not gotten in under a false understanding. If I'd have known that I had to love my wife and love my mom and forgive people, I couldn't have done it. But I thought it was kind of like a bargain. You know, I was getting in at half price. Like, no, just come in as you are, as a sinner. I didn't know he wanted to then change me. I just thought he just wanted to love me the way I was. And I ate that up. Okay, cool. So I made no effort whatever to do anything. I just got in at, as I said, a cheap rate. It was a bargain day. You got double stamps that day or something. I just got in. So you didn't have to pay that day. But later I found out, I didn't read the fine print. I found out later God didn't want me to, you know, live my own life. He wanted to live his life. He wanted me to live his life. He didn't want me to live the way I wanted to live. He wanted me to live the way he wanted me to live. So how many know about the mercy of God? The mercy of God, I thought that was just to let me sin so then I didn't have to go to hell. But later I found out that sinning isn't really that happy. So I'm not going to do what he said, but am I happy? No, it's not happy. Even though I'm sinning and I'm going to heaven, it's not happy. How many know that you're not happy just because you sin? By not loving my wife, that wasn't making me happy. You see, I was just simply doing what was easy, sinning. But God wanted to change that. Now, what is a heavenly father? The heavenly father is someone that loves you and he wants to forgive you, not so you could keep sinning, like I thought, but he wants to forgive you so that then he can give you the Holy Spirit who will change you and transform you into his likeness and image. I didn't know that. I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit did. I was a pastor. All I knew was God the Father created the world and God the Son redeemed it. That's all I knew. Here was the Creator, told me what to do, and I didn't do it. Here was the Son that forgave me. I thought that was a great deal. I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit did. What was his job? I didn't even know he had a job. He was like a ghost, so you couldn't see him or anything. At least the Father, I knew he lived upstairs, and he never came downstairs. And the Son was downstairs, but then he went back upstairs. But then where's the Holy Spirit? What's he doing? I didn't know what he did. So I was a pastor, but I had no clue as to what the Holy Spirit was until I heard about the charismatic movement, and I heard that the Holy Spirit, he does something too. What's he do? He lets you speak in tongues. Wow. What do I need that for? Power. Whoa. Power. Okay, I'll get some of that. Give me the Holy Spirit. But I couldn't get him because all I wanted to do was use him to get power over people. Like you could pray for someone and they get well. It's like that. Wow, I want that power. How many know that was my wrong, totally wrong understanding? I didn't know that the Holy Spirit wanted me to be holy. I thought he wanted me just to have some power. How many know if you're unholy and you have power, not a good thing? In other words, you would use the unholy, you'd use the power to do unholy things. In other words, like to get put people in awe. Like, hey, everybody, watch this. Do a miracle. I did that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that wasn't really what God had in mind. God had in mind that I'd use the Holy Spirit to get holy. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that that wasn't real clear when I first got into that, because I wouldn't have tried to find the Holy Spirit for that either. But so I did everything wrong. If there's ever been a person on the face of the earth that did everything wrong, it was me. And not only that, I knew I did. And that's why you don't see a lot of judgment coming out of me, because how can I judge you? I'm worse than anybody here. I'm worse than all of you. Or I'm equal to you. Now, could I see a show of hands of how many I'm equal to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Almost everybody. You're not as pitiful and pathetic as I am, are you? Anyway, I was. Now, a heavenly father, because this is Father's Day, I want to talk about fatherhood. A father is someone who has a right, he has a right, to give you a law, and you break it, and then he can forgive you, and then he can help you. So, the heavenly father gave you the law, holy law. Then, The Lord Jesus, mercifully, he comes down, the Father sends him down and says, even though you just broke my law that I said you can't break, and if you do, there's a consequence. Jesus, you go down and you pay for all the sins that Jim did. You die on the cross, so Jim can't die now. Because even though he sinned, he can't die because you died for him. And therefore, I'm paid up now. So Jim is now declared righteous. Now, Jim, do you want the Holy Spirit to make you holy? No. What do you want the Holy Spirit for? Signs and wonders and miracles. Sing songs that are happy. It's a lot better than, you know, morbid type songs that the Methodists were singing and Lutherans and Catholics. I like the happier songs. This is the day. Hey, you know, that felt a lot better. So that's what I liked. I thought, well, I want that. Because while I'm sinning, I'd like to be happy at the same time. I don't like to be miserable like when I'm doing wrong. I like to be happy about it. And so I felt I could use God. How many know that I was not serving God? I wanted God to serve me. I was just using him to build my kingdom. He wasn't calling me to build his kingdom. Y'all see that? Completely wrong. I was completely wrong. Now, I don't believe that. But at that time, that's how I got in. How many know I probably wasn't really in? I was probably a phony and a fake. And that's why in 1971 or something, or whenever it was, I got up and I told the church, I'm a complete phony. I'm totally a phony. I do not believe in anything. I just do it to get a living and get paid for it. And I like to do baptisms. I'm very good at those. I like to do confirmation. I like to marry people and bury them because you get little fees for those. So I was very good at my job. And I could come up with good messages every week, too. I could just say, you know, whatever I said. People seemed to like it. So I was having a good time. I felt everything was going my way. There was only one problem. It was completely wrong. Nothing was right about any of that. It was true that God was merciful, but not for the reason I thought. I thought he was just excusing me for sinning. Isn't that amazing? Do you think other people are confused in the church? Do you think other people are confused in the church? I was never really reborn. I was never really baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't have anything, really. I was just a complete fake. Is there anybody else here who's ever been a fake like me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. Okay. Now, however, I kept seeking God. I can't tell you why. I kept seeking God. I think the charismatics got me stirred up or something. There must be something more to this because some of the Bible verses I'm not following. Like put off the old man, put on the new. I'm not following that one. I'm just putting on the old man and throwing off the new. I don't want that new man. I don't want to love my wife. I don't want to love my mother. I don't want to be good. I just want to be bad and get forgiven. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? It's very important because in the end, you're all like me, whether you know it or not. I'm sorry. You are all like me. Everybody's like me. There's no difference between anybody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody, even if you were born again, that doesn't mean anything. You still can sin. And even if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean you're holy. And so on and so on. So I said, well, God, now that I believe in you, I want to go all the way. I want to be completely, totally, 100% like my Father in heaven. I want you to raise me like a child all over again. You teach me how to do it. Because my kids were getting born at this time, and I knew they were going to catch me after a while. Because kids watch that stuff. How many know kids watch you? When you say something about anything, they believe you. Then when they see you don't really believe it yourself, it makes them, they're troubled. Like, Dad, didn't you say Jesus answers prayer? Why are you doing it that way? Why don't you ask Jesus? They'll catch you in that. Oh, yeah. So I realized, God, I'm such a phony. I'm sure my kids will catch me. How long do I have? You know, I figured I had maybe 2 years when Carl was born. So I said, God, I got 2 years to get me to be a Christian, spirit-filled, and all that kind of stuff. So get going. Help me out here, because I'm not the real thing. I'm a complete fake. Did you know that some pastors are fakes? Are you aware of that? I'm not the only one. I was just the only one that got up and said I was a fake. I just got up and said it. I'm a fake. Complete fake. You know, when I leave church, I don't go home and pray or read the Bible. I go home, play tennis, or, you know, do something else. I mean, I'm not into God at all because I don't even know him. And if they lined people up and said, if you're a Christian, line up, we're going to shoot you. I had a problem with that because I wouldn't want to say I wasn't a Christian, but I really wasn't one. And I'd hate to die for nothing. So, I thought about, well, am I a Buddhist? No, I'm not a Buddhist. Am I a Hindu? No. Muslim? No. Well, what are you? I don't know. I'm a nothing. I'm just nothing. Complete nothing. Has anyone ever come to the end of yourself where you realize you were nothing? Anyway, in case, I might have reached one person here. In case you ever thought you were not what you were supposed to be, that was me. But I just kept going anyway because I liked the pay. No, really, the pay wasn't that good. The pay wasn't that good. But I don't know why I did it. I have no idea. I can't even explain it. All I know is God has a sense of humor. And God sought me out because he was a father. And he was a loving father. That even though I completely messed up, didn't know what I was doing, he still had mercy toward me, and he still wanted to give me his Holy Spirit, really, so that he could turn me into a man of God. And when that happened, that was powerful. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? It's very powerful because I thought, he can't change me. I'm too strong. I'm too smart. I'm too, you know, just too much full of myself. I don't think he'll ever be able to get me not to be me. I not only like sinning, I like being selfish. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Anyone like sinning and like being selfish? Clay? Yeah? 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 Praise God. Peg? No, Peg. And you, don't lower yourself down that far. So I said, God, you know, here's the deal. If you're really real, could you become real to me personally instead of just blurry in your Bible? Get me real. Make me really, really, really. And David knows I was always seeking after God, but I wasn't sure I really wanted to find him. Because what if I found him and then he wanted me to clean up? So I was a little bit scared of that. Because I thought, you know, I'm really not good at being consistent. I'm one of those persons that's real artistic and flighty and not, I just can't settle on anything for too long. I was very aesthetic, just a kind of a, I like to read just so I can be smarter than other people. And I don't really have any real purpose in doing anything I do. It's just to wow people for a few minutes and keep them from judging you or something. Do y'all see that? I mean, the only reason I comb my hair is because if you don't, people might, you might not be able to use them. So that was it. Same for taking a bath or brushing your teeth or anything. I really didn't want to do any of that stuff. But Jesus comes, and if he could help me, he could help anybody in the world. And that's one of the reasons I'm so happy, is because I know now I don't want to sin. I do not want to sin. It's no longer interesting to me. It's no longer happy to me. What's happy now is loving my wife. What's happy now is loving God. What's happy now is loving my mom, my father, all my fathers. Did you know that Jesus Christ can change your life completely? Not only forgive you, but give you his Holy Spirit that can make you holy, set aside for his purpose, for his plan. So a good father is not someone who sins or is a hypocrite. That's not a good father. A good father is not a hypocrite or a sinner. A hypocrite is a sinner who pretends like he's not, and a sinner is a sinner who knows that he is. So that's the only difference, is they're exactly the same person. So I realize God doesn't want me just to be a hypocrite, because when you're a hypocrite, this is one thing you learn, is even though I'm outwardly doing what I'm supposed to be doing, inwardly, I don't love God either. Even though outwardly I'm doing my duty, Everyone's looking at me like I'm doing fine. They're giving me the okay. But inwardly, I don't want to do that. I'm just doing it because you're supposed to. Because otherwise it'd go to hell, or something bad will happen, or you won't get any of the goodies or something. So that was my understanding was, Lord, I don't want to fake it like other people are faking it. I want to be the real thing or nothing. I either want to be the real thing or nothing. It's all or nothing. All or nothing. All or nothing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Kyle wrestled with that. Did you know that? He was wrestling with that. And I found most people were wrestling with that when you got up close to them. Realized they weren't in any better shape than I was. And I was the pastor. But, you know, they weren't getting paid like I was. Just getting paid for doing that. I loved that. It was, you know, you just performed a little bit and people were paying you. It's really a neat job. Didn't have to work. Y'all see that? I mean, what could be a better job? Well, you only work 1 hour a week. Now, I preached a little longer, so probably I get a couple hours in. But, you know, it was really easy. And I knew it. I knew inside of myself, Jim, you don't love God. You do not want to rejoice always. You are not loving everybody. You are not forgiving anybody. You are not a real thing. You're a fake. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was powerful. Because when that happened, it was miraculous. All of a sudden, not only was I now in love with God for forgiving me, now he was actually able to change and transform me into his likeness and image. And once I started, I remember in the Bible it said, don't put your hand to the plow and turn back. You know, and I was always turning back. Whoa, see, where am I going here? The thing is going all over. I was always looking around. He said, no, once you put your hand to the plow, don't ever turn back until you're perfected. How many know that God wants you to be perfected? How many know that? Well, that's a job of fathers. I would say today we have very few fathers who fear God, are trustworthy, and will not take a bribe. Very few men today who are men of integrity, who actually are born again, filled with the Spirit, and perfected. Every man mature in Christ. Every man mature in Christ. God actually wants every man to be mature, like Jesus, exactly like Jesus. Not in the world to come, but in this world. You see, I always thought that was for the world to come when you get your harp. You get the little thing and sit on your cloud up there, and you play your harp. I always thought that's when you really are mature. How many know that that was a little distance from where I was? I was not exactly there. And so I didn't know. I don't know if I'd be happy playing a harp all the time. I think the other place might be more interesting, but I don't like the worms come out of my mouth and the fire burning me up and all that. I don't know. I think I'll play the harp. But that's only because there's no real good alternative here. If there was another alternative, I'd take it. But once I fell in love with Jesus, I realized, you know what? I want to be a Christian. I want to be exactly like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Moses, Elijah, Daniel. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Peter, Paul. I want to be like Luther, Wesley. I want to go all the way no matter what. Has anybody here decided that? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When you want to go all the way, that means he has to do a lot of killing off of the old man, right? Now, he's in you to willing to do. So he, first of all, if you want that, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You can't want that on your own. So if you don't want it, that's because you don't have the Holy Spirit operating in your life. If you do want it, that was the Holy Spirit. Then to do, he's in you to will and to do. You don't have to want it and you don't have to do it, but he's in you to will and to do. That's holiness. So I said, well, God, show me how your mercy works. I know that you want to forgive me, and then show me how your power works. Because I not only want the holiness to convict me, I want the mercy to forgive me, and then I want the power to change me. Now, I want all three of those, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want all of that. Give me everything that you have that you gave to anyone else. I don't want to be behind. I don't want to hear you say someday, depart from me, you evildoer, depart from me. I want you to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. So in Romans, the 10th chapter, it says this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So Paul's talking about Israel. And then he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you see the two righteousnesses? The one on the left hand, that's under the law. And he said, the Jewish people have a zeal to do what God wants, but it's pure hypocrisy. The highest you can get on the left side is hypocrisy. And God calls that vanity. Man in his best state as a hypocrite is just nothing. A hypocrite is nothing. It's just a mask over the fact that you've sinned and you just put fig leaves on you. You're really a sinner. And you just simply made up for it superficially, but not really. Your heart's not in it. But on the right hand, there's another kind of righteousness, and God has both. This one is to make you a hypocrite so that this one can forgive you for being a hypocrite who really is still a sinner. In other words, religion is nothing. Religion is nothing. If you do it, it's nothing. Only God can give you his righteousness. It has to be a free gift of mercy and then of power through the power of the Holy Spirit to change and alter you. If you do it, it's on the left hand. If God gives it to you, it's on the right hand. So everything over here is a work. Everything over here is a relationship with God, an act of faith. Here, I believe Jesus is my righteousness. Over here, I have to do my own. So here's how one way to get right with God is be perfect. Here's another way. Don't be perfect. Sin. But then get his mercy and then get his power. Now, the only reason he does this one is show you that you don't have it and you're not going to heaven. The only thing he's ever tried to show anybody in this world is you're not perfect. And you have to be perfect to get to heaven. I can't take anybody into heaven who isn't perfect. So he gave the law to show you that you weren't perfect. The only purpose of the law was never to make you do it. It was to make you realize you couldn't do it. I'm going to say it again because it's so hard to get this. The only purpose of the law was never that anyone would do it. And no one ever did it, by the way. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one Jewish person to this day has ever done the law, nor has anybody else ever done the law. You cannot do the law. So actually, where I was in the right place, which is, Lord, I know I'm not doing the law, and I'm not doing it, and I'm not doing it, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to do it. I mean, there's nothing in me that wants to do it. And if that's bad, and of course it is, then where am I? Because I don't have the power or the desire or the capacity to be decent ever. I don't love my wife. She would ask me, do you love me? No. My mom knew I didn't love her. She learned that a long time ago. And I just didn't love anybody. But nobody loved me either. I always ask her, Peg, you know I don't love you, but do you love me not loving you? No. Well, so we're even. So to me, that was like, well, let's not fight each other. Because who cares? Just do the dishes. Go and work. Joyce, is that awful? Yes, it is. But I'll tell you something. We're all awful. And Jesus, all he ever wanted to do is show you your sin so you were guilty. Why? Because then when he makes the offer, I'm going to give you a free gift, but you have to be a sinner. So the left hand prepares the way for the right hand. Can you see this? Over here, he does not want you to be good. He wants you to realize you're not. Do y'all see this? Every religion in the world is trying to make you be good when you're not good. It's just hypocrisy. Man in his best state, it's nothing. All your righteousness, it's a filthy rag, God says. All your righteousness, it's a filthy rag. This is what he was telling to the Jewish people who were trying real, 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 real hard. They still are. They're at the Western Wall bowing and saying all kinds of words and some other guys ringing little bells and doing all this stuff to please God. You cannot please God. You know what a heavenly father is? A heavenly father is someone who tells you what to do, knowing you didn't do it, and then he loves you anyway. I'll tell you, that's the father I need. The one that will forgive me for not doing anything that he said to do and doing everything he said not to do. Jim, I hope you're not being angry today, are you? Well, it's making me mad right there of asking me like that. I hope you're not impatient. No, sir. I mean, I am a little bit. I mean, okay, I am. And you know, I hope you're not jealous, and I hope you're not envious, and I hope you're not this and that and so on. So, well, I was everything. I was everything I wasn't supposed to be, and I was nothing I was supposed to be. He said, if you're going to love me, you got to love me with all your heart, not just lip service. All your soul, all your strength. You can never be selfish. Well, everything I'm doing is selfish. I'm even trying to get to heaven selfishly so I don't go to hell and have to get the worms coming out of my nose and stuff. I don't want that. I didn't want to gnash my teeth forever and always be burning in the fire and crying out. I don't know, it just didn't appeal to me. Is anybody else like me? But I didn't know when he was telling me that, that was only to humble me. So then I would say, God, do you have plan B? Is there another way? Because I'm just not good at this keeping it up thing. And I don't think any of your people are. I don't think they are. I'm not going to do it because I don't see any of your people. And they're not happy either, I'll tell you that. Religious people, when you meet them, they're not happy. They're real sincere. Have you ever met anyone who's sincere? I hate sincere people. I have never been sincere in my life. I have never been sincere. I've been insincere from the time I gave Peggy the line about, you know, I will and I do and all that. I was just totally insincere. I knew I couldn't keep that up any more than I ever kept anything up. You all see that? I don't believe in sincerity. I think God is sincere. I don't think people are. I think sincerity has to be a gift of God. I think if you do anything, it has to be God doing it. I think if you ever please God perfectly, and that's the only thing he wants, I don't think it can be just lip service. I think it has to be totally genuine. Now, I hope I'm reaching you on this Father's Day talking about what a father is, because this is not the kind of fathers we have, is to realize everything you do is just fake unless Jesus Christ does it. And if he does it, first of all, he has to forgive you for not doing it. Second of all, he has to give you the Holy Spirit so that you could do it. But you didn't do it because the Holy Spirit did it, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, once I learned that is, apart from me, you can do nothing, but you can do all things through Christ. But obviously, apart from me, that's apart from Christ, I couldn't do it. That's left hand. But on the other hand, on the right hand, he not only will forgive me for not doing it and do it for me, but then he wants to do it in me and through me. Okay, that I could understand. That made sense. How many know that I didn't do anything then? He did it all. I give God all the glory. All the glory goes to God. Not we work this together. He gets half the glory. I get half the glory. Divvy, divvy, split. No, no, no. Jesus does it all. How many know that to God be all the glory? You see, he never wanted me to work. He always wanted me to take. And I thought take was sin. And I thought work was virtue. I thought if I worked at being good, I would go to heaven then because I worked at it. Whereas if I didn't work at it, which I didn't, then I'd have to go to hell, which I was. But I learned the opposite. Jesus said, the only reason I said work at it is when you realize you couldn't and didn't and wouldn't. Then I could just say to you, now just take this as a free gift. And his mercy then would give it to me, and then his power would enable me and help me and do it for me and do it in me and do it through me, and to God be all the glory. That was so good, I couldn't believe it. How many know that's even better than sinning? That is even better than sinning. Because when you're sinning, it doesn't really make you happy. One thing I learned is I could do anything I wanted to do because no one could stop me. No one was even watching me. No one was even home. Didn't have any fathers at home. That was one thing. And number two, my mom was always working and my grandmother didn't like me. So, you know, nobody's watching what I'm doing. And I'm getting away with murder. I'm getting away with all kinds of bad things. And nobody knows it because I look innocent. You can just tell looking at me, I'm an innocent looking person. But I'm actually very devious, extremely devious. If Jesus wasn't conquering me, you wouldn't like me. As Peggy found out after she got married to me, she realized he doesn't love me, he doesn't care about me, he only cares about himself. I said, well, yeah, of course, of course. Oh, did you buy that thing about me loving you? I'm sorry about that. That was a lie. See, well, you lie a lot, all the time. I'm just a big liar. But I don't mind admitting it now that we're married and you're locked in. Now, you know, if you divorce me, you have to go to hell. But anyway, you know, just I'm okay with it. I mean, Peg, tell them what a joy it was to be married to me. It was a real joy. It's become so. You all don't see it. Look, you can lie all you want and play games, but we didn't have any games because I did not play. I'm not a game player. I just told her, I'm not a Christian, don't love God, don't love you, don't love anybody. I just love me, just take care of me. I don't even think I really love me because what I'm doing isn't even working. I mean, if you're at your best, you still don't have anything. You can perform and you can, you know, get people to like you and approve you and so on. But in the end, there's nothing there. So the only thing you really have is what God gives you. You have nothing unless God gives it to you. Whatever God gives you, that's all you've got. And here I understood God was saying, I'm looking for sinners. And this was me over here. Me. You're looking for sinners. Do they have to say that they won't sin from now on? No. No. They have to be totally helpless. Me. This is me again. Do they have to be sincere? No. Okay. That's me again. So I had nothing to qualify me. Jesus was looking for people that would not ever take any credit for anything because they knew they were worthless. That was me. So Jesus came along and said, Jim, you're just the one I'm looking for. Would you please take all these gifts? And I go, if I don't take them, what? Hey, you go to hell. Okay, I think I'll take them. Because I don't have any future, apparently. As soon as I die, I'm finished. How many know that God wasn't scaring me? He was just telling me the truth. It'll be the worms coming out of my nose and all that stuff. I don't know. And gnashing of teeth and fire burning and so on. I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me. That did not appeal to me. So is that a good reason to go to heaven? It's because you don't want to go to hell? Well, I knew that was wrong too. So I had no moves. He had checkmated me. It's a checkmate. It's a total checkmate. If I don't take what he says, I'm finished. If I take what he says, I'm finished. I'm finished. Did you all come to that? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Did you ever come to that in your life? You realize, you know, no matter what I do or don't do, it's not going to work. Unless Jesus Christ loves me, as is written down in the Bible, unless I believe that, I can't make myself believe it, but if I do believe it, that he not only forgive me, but he also helped me to make me like Jesus Christ in this world, in my marriage, in my church, in my family, with the same mother I have, the same three fathers I have. He has to do it right there. If he could do that, he would be the true God. Do you all see this? The reason that he made it higher than Buddhism, higher than any other religion, be perfect. Listen to it carefully. Be perfect. Be exactly as I am. Be merciful like I'm merciful. Be gracious like I'm gracious. Be kind like I'm kind. Be joyful like I'm joyful. Be perfect like I'm perfect. Can you do that? Is there anybody here that can do that? Nobody. You know what? You know why he said all that? So you'd admit, I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay, Jim, now if you admit you can't do it, here's a free gift. Because you look pathetic to me. You look like you're needful. So here's a free gift to you. Okay. He's the only one offering. See, no one else is offering me anything. So, okay, what happens if I take it? I'll kill you right after that. You what? I'll kill you. Why? There's nothing good about you. That's true. Okay, so you're going to kill me? Do I have to help you? No. I'll sneak up on you. I'll get you good. Wow. You mean you could actually change me so I loved my wife instead of I don't? Then I would. And you can make me do that? You can change me like that? You can make me feel something I don't feel? You can make me think something I don't think? You can make me do something that I don't do? You can do that? Mm-hmm. Yep. All you have to do is trust me. Do you trust me? No, I don't. But can you make me trust you? Yeah. You could? Okay, well, okay. If you're going to do it all, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything, right? Yep. Well, then I'm qualified. So I guess I could be a Christian then. So you're going to remake me, right? Yep. Just come right here through this fire. You know, and by the time he's done, you realize, wow, I love my mom. I love my three dads. I love Peggy. I love the children. I love the church. I love my enemies. I love everybody. Do you see that? Do you all see that? You know why? Because only she that hath been forgiven much loveth much. In my case, why I know I grew. I didn't grow because I was a grower. I grew because I couldn't grow. And Jesus Christ said he'd do it all. Do you all see that? Does anybody else have a testimony? Because I'm going to have you testify about your father in a minute. But you need to realize you've had fathers, earthly fathers, who were not perfect. They all were good to one extent. This is the only extent they were good at. They birthed you. And that was something that they did for whatever motive. They birthed you. Like my father, who just, you know, was a one-night stand with my mom, I don't think he had a good motive. wasn't even married to her. I don't think she had a good motive. I think they had horrible motives, but they birthed me, and for that I thank God. And even though she tried to abort me and, you know, didn't want me to come forth and all this stuff, I thank God. Why? Because I believe it's God that kept me alive. I don't believe it was up to them to bring me into this world, even though they did their part, so I thank them for that part. But I forgive them for everything else they didn't do or did do. Let's forgive them. So if you had a good dad, thank God. If you had a bad dad, as I did, at least I thanked him for the one good part, or 10 good parts, or who cares how many. But nobody had a perfect father. There's only one father in heaven. He's the perfect one. Now, if you're a father, not only should you be holy like he is, not only should you be merciful like he is to your children, but you should also be powerful to help them and do everything God wants for that child. Isn't that what a parent wants? A parent wants to bring a child into the world and then teach them what's right and wrong, and then forgive them when they do wrong, and then make sure they grow up to be just like what? Jesus. Just like Jesus. And David can remember, I'm sure, as he grew up, I told him, the only thing I want you to be is godly. I just want you to be a man of God. That's all. So all I told the girls, I just want you to be godly. I don't want you to get good grades or be smart or work hard or anything like that. The only thing I want you to be is godly. Just be godly. How many know that that's the goal? To be like Christ, spirit, soul, body. Everything about you. Now, a good father then, first of all, fears God. The first thing to say about a good father is your father should be someone that fears God, is not himself God, but fears the living God who's over him, above him, and he submits to him. So this is what happened to me. It's exactly what happened to me, is I learned to fear God. That, Jim, you're not God. You're not smart. You're not good. You're not, you know, anything. You don't have anything going for you. But God, who is real smart and real good and real strong, let him do it. Let him do everything. Well, that's the first thing I did, is I feared God. Okay, God, I'll let you do it. You change me then without my helping you. You change me just as I am. Don't make me be better than I am. Just let me be what I really am. How many know that God wants you just the way you are? And then I accept David just the way he is. I don't want David to be other than what David is. Now, mom is always trying to fix everybody. She's a fixer. She wants to change him. She's always thinking of, you know, what could I do here to get him controlled into my little view of what would be good for him. I don't want her to do it. I always tell her when she goes and visits the grandchildren, do not correct the husband. You know, don't, we have Bill and Phil. Don't help Bill and Phil be better. Don't help them love their wives more. Don't. Leave them alone. Do I not tell you that? And because Peggy is the kind that'll get in there. Well, you shouldn't be saying that. Well, you that is wrong. Right? She'll correct them. Just leave them be.
I don't do that to Phil.
You don't do that to Phil?
He wouldn't receive it.
He wouldn't receive it. But she wants to. She wants to get in there and shape them. How many know if you have a God, let God do it? Let God do that. Let God do that. I'm telling you, you cannot make anybody change. Have you tried that? Does it work? Not yet? Keep going. Try. Just keep trying. No, you will never change anybody. You can't even change yourself. How can you change somebody else? You can't even change yourself. You have no power. Zero, zero, zero. And you're not smart. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know right from wrong. You don't know true from false. You don't know light from dark. You know nothing. The sooner you get to this pathetic, pitiful place, the more God then can give you his mercy and then give you his power. So all he's ever wanted. All he ever wants is for someone to say, I can't do it. It's all he's ever wanted. I give up. God, there's nothing I can do. That's all he's ever wanted. You be guilty. Just admit, not, I feel bad about it. He doesn't want you to feel bad about it. He doesn't want you to change. He wants to do everything. He wants to tear you down and build you up. Doesn't want you to help him. There's nothing to do. He's already done everything. He already did it. He already did it. He already did it. You haven't seen it yet, but that's because you're still working at it. If you'd stop working, he'd work. But as long as you're working, you'll never see his finished work. He doesn't want you to help out. Don't feel sincere. Don't try to feel more Christian or pray more sincerely or anything. Don't help him. Let God do it. See, you replace God when you do it. You're playing God as though he was too weak to do it, so you had to help him. You don't know what you're doing. So, number one, fear God. Number two, be trustworthy. Trustworthy means never be you. To be trustworthy is for someone to put a trust on you and say, I'm going to trust you to be Peggy's husband. That's a trust. I'm going to trust you to be the pastor of this church. That's a trust. But here's how you're trustworthy. You're trustworthy because you know you're not. God, I'm not trustworthy apart from you. But with you doing it, through me, in me, for me, well, then I can do it. If God does it all, then of course I can do it. But if I have to do any of it, then of course I'm not going to do it. So he says, let me do all of it. I want all the glory for it too. I do it all, so I want all the glory. And when he's done, he's just going to give it to you anyway. He's going to give you all the glory that he got out of it. He's just going to give it to you. My father, when I was 9 years old, I started working. My father took 1/3 of everything I earned. If I made a dollar, 33 cents had to go to my dad. Well, he used that later to send me to college. I doubt it paid for it, but at any rate, he used it to send me to college. So in other words, when God gets all the benefit, he actually just gives it back to the children. So what my father was saying, and I don't know if he meant it or not, it doesn't matter, but it's the way it worked out, is he collected from me all those years, and I worked hard, and I was real stingy because I knew I only got 2/3 of everything that came in. I lost 1/3 to my dad. He didn't say anything about college. He just took it and wrote it down in a book and collected all that money off of me. And he is very careful about that, you know. $1.50, 50 cents goes to me. Here's a buck back. It's like, so I worked really hard. He made me a good, like save your money because you never know. So I wouldn't buy anything. So I became a thief. I would steal stuff. But anyway, I just wouldn't buy anything because I didn't want to run out. Now, God not only wants you to fear him, let him be God. Number two, be trustworthy. Never be yourself. Never rely on yourself. Always rely on God. Don't love Peggy the way you, Jim, love Peggy. Love Peggy the way Jesus loves Peggy. Well, you know what that'll do to you? Kill you. That's your death right there. If I can't take care of my own interest, but Peggy's my only interest, who's going to take care of me? God. So I can put all my time to Peggy easily because you know why? Because God gave me everything. I had nothing and he gave me everything. So why would I worry about me? I don't have to take care of me. The wife is always the one to be blessed. Do y'all see that? Not the husband. But most husbands, and I was one of those, most husbands always take care of themselves first. I did. And if there's anything left over, okay, we got a few bucks left over. I just bought my $350 Ampex machine, and now here you can go buy a $20 dress. You know, I always took care of myself first. Is any other man like me? I'm saying this because I know there's somebody in here like me. I've always made sure I got what I wanted first, and then, yeah, Peg, there's some money left over here. I don't spend too much. And I didn't take care of Peggy, and she knew it. She knew, he's not really caring for me. And if she'd asked me, I'd have told her, well, you're right, but I've cared for me. Doesn't that make you happy that I'm being cared for? Of course she didn't. Did y'all see that? Do you all see that? Do you understand that? That's man. That's how men are. Men are take care of themselves first. Even if they pretend like they're being caring for you, they're not. They're taking care of themselves until Jesus breaks you. And Jesus broke me and said, Jim, why take care of yourself? What pitiful stuff do you have? Let me take care of you. I'll do a better job. You take care of Peggy, I'll take care of you. Huh. I never knew that. I said, wow, if that's true, if I don't take care of myself, that shows I don't trust God. I mean, if I do take care of myself, that shows I don't trust God. But if I let God take care of me, I'm trusting him. Worthy of trust. Then I don't have to be Jim, the center of attention. The most important, I can put Peggy right in the center. And I'm not loving Peggy because she is worthy of it. I'm not loving her because she deserves it. I'm loving her because God says, I want you to do it. Did you all see that? Give her everything. Bless her. What? What about me, God? Don't worry about you. I'll take care of you. Wow. You sure? He said, Jim, I'll give you everything. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You just take care of others. Don't ever take care of yourself. I'll take care of you. Did you all see that? The last thing, and the only other thing for a father to know is, fear God, be trustworthy, and never take a bribe. Never let someone else dissuade you from where you're going. You should have the principle in you that says, if I start something with God, something that I know He wants me to do, finish it, even to my hurt. Even to my hurt. Even if I lose everything, I'll never leave Peggy or forsake her. I'll never quit the church until it's perfected. I'm never going to stop anything He does, even if I lose everything myself. If I lose my life, that's good. Now, the only way you can do that is if the living God actually enters into a covenant with you and you totally believe in Him. Now, three things. Fear God, be worthy of trust. In other words, be someone that lives another life. You come in the name of the Lord instead of your own name. Jim no longer counts. In the church, in my marriage, in my business, and everything, nothing counts but Jesus. Nothing counts but whomever He directs it to. There's a beneficiary always, and it's always going to be Peggy, the kids, the grandkids, the church, you know, the enemies, and pretty soon it's everybody. So He just wants me to give away my life for everybody. What a wonderful way to live. You know, when you lose your life, you find it. When you keep your life, you lose it. I used to keep my life, and I didn't have one. I really didn't have any joy, even though I did everything I wanted to do. When you do everything you want to do, you realize everything I want to do isn't satisfying. There's no end to how many things, you know, I want to do, but they never satisfy. Isn't that interesting? A man gets $1 million and feels like, well, now I'm in good shape. And he wants two. Then he wants five. Then he wants 20. Then he wants a billion. Then he wants a trillion. I mean, there's no end to it. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. That the water runs down to the sea, goes up in the cloud, comes back, and runs right down to the sea. Just keeps going like that, and you're never satisfied. Isn't that amazing? Have you learned that in your life, that no matter what you do, it's not going to be satisfying until you do what God wants you to do? Have you learned that? Now, who has a father that you want to boast on? That my father, he had a good point. He birthed me. My father, you know, was a wonderful. I know some of your fathers, they're wonderful. Well, brag on them. Boast on them in the Lord. Because they also have sin in their lives. They're not perfect in every way. Forgive that. Just don't count it. The Holy Spirit told me yesterday to go to a certain house. I went to that certain house. And when I knocked on the door, the person opened the door, and they said, why are you here? And I said, the Holy Spirit told me to come. And then the next word out of my mouth was, I've sinned against you, I want you to forgive me. And the person bawled, cried, just broke down. And then, you know, I explained what the Holy Spirit had shown me. This is what I did wrong. I didn't say everything, I just said what the Holy Spirit told me to say. And that person then said, after I was all done, 3 hours later, I've sinned against you too. It's powerful. It's powerful. I believe God knows how to lead your life in a way you can't do what you want to do. It doesn't matter what you want to do. It matters what He wants to do. And you have to trust Him. That was a glorious time. I know that absolutely changed not only my life, before I even got there, because the Holy Spirit showed me all this stuff, but also changed that person's life, and they said so. This had to happen. This was very powerful. You took all the blame, gave me all the blessing. It's very powerful. Then that person said, I sinned against you. I spoke against you. I tore you apart, and so on and so forth. And I said, it's good. I didn't know about it, so doesn't affect me, but I'll tell you what, it is all my fault. I don't, even what you did, I don't care what you did. Jesus Christ showed me, you loved me when I hurt you. When I hurt you, I knew, because the Holy Spirit showed me, when I hurt this person, Jesus Christ gave them love for me. Isn't that amazing? That to me is amazing. Now, I'm sure I've done that to tons of people. I just haven't gotten around to everybody here yet. And it's painful, but it's good. Because this is the way God wants you to strip yourself, to be completely naked, not to be anything. So I want somebody to stand up and say, I want to tell you about my father. I had a great father. This morning in Dallas, I'm sure there were five or six people that said, Pastor Jim is my father. It's like, I didn't even know that. People would say that. I didn't even know that. Said, I had a wonderful father, and Pastor Jim then, when my father died, Pastor Jim became my father. He didn't know it first. He's just telling, wow. I realized, crying and everything. It's, wow, that's powerful. People came up bawling. That's powerful. Okay, let's close in prayer. And now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, it's the same thing as face, upon you and give you his peace. His peace. His peace. Not as the world gives peace, the way he gives peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen and amen. Lord, we thank you for our fathers, but most of all, we thank you that you are a God of our fathers, and you are a fatherly God whose love never ends, ever, ever, ever. And we give you the praise and the glory. Just that we're alive today and that we have come to know you as our loving heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Love you all. God is good.